Good morning. Today is Labor Day, Monday, the 5th of September. Joining us this morning is School Resource Officer for the Eureka Police Department, slash Eureka High. They don't call you slash, do they?
No, only if, let's say, you know, they recruit me for the band.
Yeah, yeah.
And I'm on campus at Mr. Young's band class.
After hours.
Slash is here. Pick up that guitar.
Tim Mosselon. Good morning, sir.
Good morning.
Now, it doesn't say interim chief, so I'm going to say Chief Todd on this little missive he left. Warn you about our little program that we have at the beginning of the show.
That's right.
Yeah, okay. So, let's find the one I opened it to. I'm not going to use it. It was Washout. Now, I can use that on him, but not on you. All right. Why do we say loaded for bear?
Loaded for bear.
Yeah. Where'd that come from?
What's the spelling on bear?
Good point. I've been hanging around some of the edges of the community. B-E-A-R.
I just, you know, if it's a noun or a...
It's furry.
Loaded for bear.
Wait, that doesn't really define it too tightly either, does it?
Almost. No, we're getting close.
All right.
I may have a dollar riding on this.
Claws.
I don't know yet.
Okay.
Bear claws. Loaded for bear. Wow.
Any idea? You can plead ignorant. Most do.
No, because I figured I can maybe talk my way into the right answer or convincing our listeners that this is the right answer. Because, hey, you know, who
Persuasion.
Else would have the right answer would be the cop. Loaded for bear. I need to know why, because I have no idea.
If you've ever faced a situation of conflict in which you will be up against a tough and seasoned opponent, you better be... or try to be, loaded for bear. Why bear rather than wolf or deer or moose? Because hunters of the frontier era found bears to be their toughest quarry. Nothing in nature is more dangerous than a full-grown bear wounded by a shot that failed to kill it. Tiny pellets packed into a shotgun were adequate for a squirrel or a rabbit, but when a person went after a 12-point buck, he loaded his gun with buckshot. And for the fiercest creature of the American wild, he stayed home unless he was loaded for bear.
There you go. Yeah.
And
don't go out there unless you're properly prepared.
And don't shoot for the head.
Right.
It'll just bounce off.
Yeah. Well, thank you for that. I love learning that. New things every day.
I can give you a couple old books from around here if you really want to do that stuff.
I've already been assigned some homework already.
Never mind.
Yeah. As a school resource officer, I can't leave a campus without having some homework given to me. And that's not a joke.
So what is the function of an on-campus cop? When I went through Eureka High, we had the dean, we had counselors.
Yes.
Okay. It was a different, it was a different era. That sounds so bad.
I don't know.
A different time. You know, the 70s, mm-hmm. You know, our biggest thing was they were looking, and maybe it was a bigger thing. They were looking for guns in the lockers.
Sure.
Handguns. That was the big deal. And whether it was hunting guns or not, that was the thing. And they would find a couple knives and that kind of stuff. But since then, we've had marijuana hit the community.
Yep.
We've had social media. We've had a lot of goofy stuff that is happening in schools these days. So what is the role of a school resource officer?
It's broad, and what I think that you and I are going to talk about is how maybe underutilized it actually has been historically with the cop on campus, as you were. But let me ask you, when you're back in going to high school, what'd you say, in the 90s? Is that right?
Yeah, right.
Let me ask you, though. What
late 70s.
What was the student body population? I'm just curious.
See, my class was 578, and the only reason I know is because I was stupid enough and ran and won for class president.
All right.
And at that time, it was sophomore through senior, and we had 1,700 to 1,900 kids.
Great. Well, surprisingly, I think that area at the height of, I think, our economy, really, when it came to resources, fisheries, logging, we had more families, I think, in the area. So if I were to tell you right now, I hope you believe it, the Eureka High School student body is just under 1,400. And that's actually that's a large enrollment from the sources that I've talk
to. It's on the
so it's getting up. You know, Eureka High is starting to become the place to be. There's been an improvement and a progression in a lot of the skills and trades classes, a brand new auto shop, metal shop, soon to be, new ball fields. The trades are coming back. The students and the families are getting interested in, Eureka High offers this. So coming back to your original question, it's like, why the school cop? Why the cop on campus? Why the resource officer? And I think that's where the word resource comes in. I think that historically, up until when Eureka PD and police departments in general have assigned a resource officer, an officer to help the schools, it's been almost a much needed and a natural transition to seek out the advice or in some cases a follow through with anything that's criminal on campus. A lot of the times, maybe without a school police officer or, some issues just be like, hey, where do we go? What do we do with this possession? What do we do with this fight on campus? Do we handle this in-house with the school admin? Do we, have
the teachers? It used to be like the dean of students.
Right, so the
but
dean of students.
In the old days, dean of students had a lot more leeway, shall we say, in how they could handle things and what they could do, and it wasn't worried about somebody's rights and this and that. It was break up the fight,
separate
the two, let's find out what's going on, and deal with it. I don't suspect that it's nearly as straightforward these days.
It still is, believe it or not. And I provide that perspective, and let's have more, let's have as much discretion as you can, because all fights, regardless, it's very unique. I mean, how did this happen? Why and where do we go from here? Because ultimately, we want to make sure the schools are safe. You want to have a safe environment for the teachers, for the students, the parents that are dropping their students off. They want to know that their student, their child is going to be at a safe place. Having that influence, and I think having that balance and collaboration with the police department on school grounds is certainly a benefit. And we've, in light of more recent events where school safety has become a priority. And if you don't mind, I'll speak to Eureka City Schools in general, because we, my assignment with Eureka City Schools is allowing me to be part of their updates and their progression for safety plans. So
that's what I was going to ask you. Yeah. Is the impression or the utilization, I guess, folks reaching out to you, is it the kids because they're, having a situation, or is the faculty embracing you and saying, okay, Tim, how do we deal with this situation? What do you see? What are the vulnerabilities? Mm-hmm. And using you as a resource and engaging you as a peer rather than, something that's kind of an adjunct to the kids.
That is, when that happens, when you have that relationship and that collaboration with a teacher, with a parent, maybe you're lucky enough to where, like you said, maybe a student will come forward and be like, officer, can I talk to you? That's gold. That's where I think the spirit of this position to allow a student, whatever age, kindergarten through 12th, to confidently come up to a police officer on their own and say, I need to talk to you about this, X, Y, or Z. It could be anything
comfortable
at home.
Enough.
But I think that that is either part of the culture that has been instilled, where when a police officer is on campus, regardless of the grade level, again, elementary to high school, and because the staff and the parents embrace that, it offers that form of comfort for the students to come forward to. And the staff at all the schools have been phenomenal.
It's 8:19.
Hi there, and good evening, and welcome to the Jim Bohannon Show from Westwood One Radio. We're at 1-866-50-JIMBO, 1-866-505-4626. Weekdays at 7 p.m., it's the Jim Bohannon Show. I'm Jim Bohannon. Join me here on KINS.
Good morning, KINS. News and Information Time, it's 8:23. We're back talking shop. Labor Day. Weekend, Labor Day, Monday, all kinds of fun stuff. Tim Marshall on, who is the, is it Eureka City Schools? Or Eureka High School Resource Officer?
It's generally school resource officer, and I provide service to Eureka City Schools.
So you're hanging out a lot at the high school, but you're also visiting
all of the schools. The yes, there's approximately 9 campuses. That's including.
I mean, approximately.
Well,
you can't figure it out.
Well, I actually.
Or do they keep changing the number on you?
Luckily, I mean, I think that the way the student population is going, we may need to add more school sites. So I say approximately. I'm looking forward to maybe 10 plus school sites.
I've been arguing bring back Worthington for decades, and nobody's
listening.
There you go. Of course, they sold it too, so that's not going to come back.
So,
did Todd share any of this stuff with you coming in, or is this cold turkey?
A little bit of both.
Oh,
and like I said earlier, I may owe someone a dollar for not being prepared for Loaded for Bear. Just saying.
So, you said in the last break, Tim, that, or during the last segment, that if the kids are feeling comfortable with you, they come to you.
Mm-hmm.
Is that a goal for parents, or is it for faculty also to be able to come to you? Because I would think a lot of the parents, they're not spending too much time around you, but staff is.
A little bit of all of that, actually. So when the students and the kids feel comfortable coming to me and talking to me, that's great. I think that, you know, they want to genuinely get to know me. The first question is, why are you on campus? Or maybe the other question is, you know, what's your favorite sports team? And that's where, you know, again, that's...
And you've learned the right answer for that,
well, it depends
too, right?
on what they're wearing. What hat are they wearing, okay? So, you know, for example, a kid the other day, he was wearing a Raiders hat, so I said, go Niners, and then he walked away from me. So, but that,
you know... As long as you never say Lakers.
Okay.
We're okay.
We're all right. But it's... because I think our prior... I've only been with Eureka Police Department for 5 years, and what I've seen in the previous school resource officer, Chris Jenkins, he had years of that assignment, and the relationships that he built on campus, off campus, I'm running with. And it's he made, and the school staff at all school sites are making, I'd hate to say, my job kind of easy at this point. However, I think that there's still more outreach out there. There's, as a school resource officer, you ask me, you know, the main question, the first question, you know, why a cop on campus? And I think that with as many hats and as many roles that a police officer on campus actually has, it's limitless. I think that...
I would think you could have 4 or 5 and probably still not be where you really wanted to have somebody at the time you wanted to have somebody there and still be able to... be engaged in some of those staff meetings and to plan things and rather than reacting to things.
A lot of planning and a lot of scheduling, working around, you know, bell schedules, because each bell schedule and each staff member, teacher, student schedule is unique in their own regard. So I'm finding here that, and I'm getting to know Eureka City Schools and our community in general. There is so much out there, so many resources that if I can be that conduit, if I can just be the first phone call, the first interaction that anybody on campus, a counselor's office, a parent, that they can reach out to me, I'm very confident that the relationships that I continue to build with this community, whether it's mental health, whether it's housing, it all has some effect and some benefit to our students. And I'm happy to facilitate that. So when we have a comp on campus, otherwise when we have a school resource officer, that's what it is, quite literally resource. I mean, it's, you know, this counselor or the teacher or a confidential staff may not have the answer, but let's bounce this off the cop. Let's see what Tim has to say about this. And if I don't have an answer, I will find it. And let's say if it's an example, hypothetically, that we have a student, and this happens frequently, and this is another one of my hats that I wear, I'll do a wellness check. I'll check with the home and see, you know, hey.
Oh, so you're not just, you're not tethered to the camp.
Oh, no.
The physical campuses themselves.
No, I will go out there because the ultimate goal is, you know, obviously to instill that trust that school is a safe place. It's a good place for students. Some students kind of lose sight of that, but the parents, they want their children there.
Depends on whether or not it's a test day.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, really, huh? I don't know, a Friday before a busy weekend. Who knows?
Or let's say a Monday with a test on Tuesday.
To
be a little bit, yeah.
However, so, with Zoom, it's like, hey, you know, I know you're not here, and this is a teacher calling parent or a student. Can you just Zoom into this test real quick?
Yeah, totally.
Yeah.
So when you do the wellness checks or the, you know, almost sounds like the old truancy officers, but
yeah.
Well, in that kind of a scenario, I would think that either you're going to run into some attitudes of thanks or 180 degrees in the other direction. Is there a middle ground on that, or do they tend to be one extreme or the other?
Thanks and gratitude. And I'm glad you brought up the truancy officer. That was a label mostly maybe for the officer, the cop on campus, or someone in a capacity as administrative role on a campus. It's like, hey, we are designated the truancy officer. This is us paying a visit to your home and finding out why you're truant. To me, that kind of speaks a bit of almost like you're ostracizing a student or a kid or a family that really they want to be at school. They're not truant per se, but let's just treat it as more like let's check their welfare or their wellness. They're now called wellness checks. And when we're assigned as a call for service on patrol, it's a welfare check. So let's go check their welfare and see if they need help, what's really going on. Okay, because it's maybe not their fault.
I would have thought the flip, that caring enough to go and find out if everything's okay, right, rather than coming down and
yeah, no, we and it's something where, you know, we see the benefits, the short term and the long term of it, with school being a safe and productive place for our students, for someone's family member, their son, their daughter. That's the best place for them. If I can help in that regard by going and visiting a family and seeing what they need, then we can get them to school and allow them to grow and develop and learn and actually have fun. You know,
so what are some of the things that, granted you haven't done it for 25 years, but even to this point, either in reviewing what Chris had done or your own experiences, what are some of the things that you do run into in that scenario?
Well, initially it's a thank you for visiting and hey, you know, Officer Marcelon or Tim, it's good to see you again, because a lot of the families that I may go conduct a wellness check on and check their attendance or families that have met on patrol. So I'm familiar with, I think, what will be expected when I either give them a phone call or knock on their door. And at that point, I just allow them to maybe vent to me or ask me for support that they really didn't feel comfortable maybe at the school. You know, I'll even talk to the student, be like, hey, what's going on? How can I help? And the resources that are out there, if it's more appropriate to make a referral for a mental health evaluation,
so
or maybe housing.
Connect them up with things that may help them out.
Absolutely. Yeah. And with this, and I'm sure you're familiar with our CSET and our MIST team, in the first 2 weeks of school, they've already been profound with helping me manage some families that really took advantage of their services. 100%.
So we'll talk about that when we come back. It's 8:30.
Something big.
It's going to happen.
Stand by playback.
And now,
live. Real Red Meat Radio.
I keep forgetting I'm president.
This is the Lars Larson Show.
And these kids who come, they become Americans before a lot of Americans become Americans.
Now, here's your host, Lars Larson.
Hey there, it's Lars Larson. Join me for the Lars Larson Show, weeknights 10 to midnight. Honestly provocative talk radio on KINS.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:35. We're back talking shop this morning with Eureka City Schools and Eureka Police School Resource Officer Tim Marcelon. Tim, CSET and MIST are alphabet soups for a lot of us. We hear about, okay, maybe in this scenario, but we kind of forget what it is. But these are some of the efforts that EPD has done to try to outreach into the community and deal with situations before they become major situations.
Sure.
So when you're working with, whether it's homeless kids or those that are dealing with some challenges at home, does it change what the goal is and it's just the approach? Or is it really a whole different set of circumstances and you may not be worried about what you first showed up for if you find something else is present that needs more attention?
So the goal, and I'm not sure if the goal has ever changed, I think with the way I see it, is the goal is to, you know, if we're talking about the schools collaborating with our alphabet soup, sandwich. You know, there's acronyms. The more I'm involved in
depends
more schools.
Depends on how close Lenny is, right?
Right. Yeah. So, you know, there's acronyms everywhere, and you want to get to know acronyms, you know, that spend a couple days on a school campus, and they got an acronym for everything. So when I talk about, hey, you know, I'd like to get, you know, Sergeant LaFrance and MIST and CSET involved in that, they know right away, oh, yeah, CSET and MIST, we get that. The goal is to, like you just said, maybe if there's something that's predictable and that, you know, we have homelessness, mental health, trauma, because that's really, really profound here is our childhood trauma rate in this county. Forgive me, I don't have the numbers, but it's something
So the definition of that, because, you know, sometimes we hear about that and other times it's governments saying, and they'll just throw out terminology and not be specific. The old days, again, it was booze.
Sure, yep.
Okay, not for the kids necessarily, but for mom and dad, and then, you know, some of the outcomes associated with that. And then that moved into the drugs a little bit. But we hear things like, selling kids, you know, in the sex trade.
Sure, human trafficking.
That whole arena, which was not in there when a lot of us were going through. The homeless, homeless could have also been, okay, so so-and-so is living with so-and-so for a couple of weeks while dad gets a new job.
Yeah.
Okay, that is normal for a lot of us. But today's definitions are totally different, I think, and if we are not in those arenas, we don't know what this stuff really is like. So when you say trauma or high school kids or junior high kids having mental health issues, you know, we had stress taking a test, but
sure.
Mental health, no. That wasn't labeled that way, and maybe it was there, but we didn't recognize mm-hmm. it for what it is. So what are some of these things that you run into on a regular basis that regular guy and gal may not even be aware of?
So the spectrum is almost a perpetual broadening, if you will, with childhood traumatic experiences. And it could be something that's really at face value, apparent, right there, right in front of your eyes. You know, there's something going on. You know, there's some physical abuse, mental abuse, malnourishment, sleep deprivation, you know, just being witness to a very, you know, chaotic or violent situations.
Do those tend to be drug-related or?
Oh, gosh.
The parents, or is it mental health, or is it lack of parenting skills? When you look at trying to address that situation, not the result of, but the situation mm-hmm. itself, yeah, it's easy for us to say, yeah, drugs.
Okay.
And whether it's drugs or not, that's easy for us to say and just write it off to drug abuse.
Yeah, a combination of everything. And I think we're seeing, and I mean, you can just open the browser and see our local news, a lot of just drug-related arrests. And, you know, oftentimes there may be children involved, and oftentimes enough, these children are going to be our students, whether it's, you know, somewhere in the county, and, you know, and as my role, these children, these students are going to be at Eureka City Schools. I'm going to circle back to, you know, your questions, like, what is our goal here? Because we have so many irons in this fire now, and they're all productive. They all have a value, and they're all, you know, the contribution has just been, you know, tremendous. So we're going back to what we can offer at the police department. The Eureka City Schools and other school districts are set up with counseling services and mental health. And
but it's more than what it wasn't the school nurse like it was.
No. It's, oh my gosh. Different. Yeah.
Am I showing my age here?
No. Yeah. Yeah. High school in the 90s, right? We got that.
Yeah. Yeah.
No.
You keep trying to make me 40. Thanks.
Oh, you're looking great. You look great. But it's really amazing. So now that we're talking, it's like, what does the school resource officer do? I'm just one piece in a 1,000-piece puzzle here, where I have a contribution as far as the relationships and the collaboration with Eureka City Schools, the staff, county mental health, county probation if we need to involve juvenile probation. We have
a lot more support today.
Oh my gosh.
Before.
Or when I was going to high school, let's say in the mid late 90s, I can relate to your experiences as well. We had an assistant principal. We may have had a school nurse, and we may have had an officer come out and bring a drug dog on campus like once every
couple,
you know,
go visit months. The fire station and see the dog in the fire.
Right.
Yeah, so, those real basic things, yeah.
But, you know, thinking back on it, how amazing would it have been to really have the services then that we have now and all these wonderful professional people just caring, just selfless, putting all their love into, you know, the goal. As
so the need was there.
The need was
it
there, but now,
recognized.
And yeah. You know, when we talked about the trauma and the broad spectrum of, you know, what, you know, how do you define the trauma as maybe subjective as it may be? That has been a result of, I think, maybe decades of studies. Really, we're looking at now, and we are now managing something that's always been there, but it took us a long time to actually figure this out, see the results of maybe what may have worked or hasn't worked, you know, see the progression of, you know, certain, I don't know, age demographics and go from there. It's amazing to be a part of.
Well, and I would think that there is still shifting sands because you've got the social media and the internet and, you know, cyberbullying. And, yeah, you know, okay, we kind of had an idea what bullying was or, you know, right, we used to call it capping, you know, sarcasm.
Oh, yeah.
Now it's like, people take it serious.
Yep.
And they crater because it's like, wait, huh? Everything in moderation, I guess, is probably the nicest way to say things.
Right. Except for moderation, maybe. Yeah. Depends on who you talk to.
Yeah, fine.
I'm glad you brought up that social media, the cyberbullying. I was just talking to a mom on the phone, and she's about, you know, her son is 15, 16, something like that. And she wanted to have a discussion about the cyberbullying thing. And because we are still early on in the school year, a lot of the cyberbullying, a lot of the harassment, if you were, was all taking place through the course of the summer. And it wasn't like when, you know, maybe you and I or everybody in this room, when we were going to high school, you personally face to face, you know, maybe had a personal exchange with the social media and cybering. I mean, you know, these kids went an entire summer without being probably in the same town as each other. But the bullying and the and the harassment, you know, nonstop, so like remote and vicarious. It's like, you know, then when they finally see each other on school grounds, it's like, all right, remember all that stuff you typed about me?
Yeah.
Well, it was game on. It was just like boiled over. I'm like, yeah. Wow. So I was having this back and forth with this mom who was just like, yeah, what is up with that? I'm like, this is the world we're in. And it takes two to argue.
Is it serious, Tim? Or is it sarcasm and one side misinterpreting sarcasm for being real deal?
Both. I mean, it could start off like sarcasm, you're right. And then, you know, the other kid or whoever the receiver of the sarcasm be like, no. You know, and how can you call someone? No one's, I'm still calling people.
You're not smiling when you say it because there's no smile.
Right? Yeah, there's nothing. It's like you're seeing words and like, yeah. And so words are going back and forth. But, you know, the closure that I had with his parents on the phone was the best thing that we can do at this point. Again, it takes at least two to engage in this. And if your son just is the bigger person,
doesn't,
and I hate to say this, but the natural progression is that they will find someone else to harass.
Right.
Be like, this kid's boring. He's not reciprocating.
He's not playing well.
Yes, yeah. Exactly. No, he's no fun, you know.
Yeah. It's like, move on to something
whatever.
Else. Yeah.
And so I think that parent was really thrilled to hear that perspective because I'm sure they're thinking that all the time. I'm sure they're just like trying to reinforce that concept in their son's head. It's like, just stop engaging.
Yeah.
But when they hear it from me, and I'll see their son here maybe in a day or two, I'll check in with him and see how he's doing. But it's one of those where, you know,
don't gotta
just
play.
Don't. Yeah. And I even told this parent too, and I tell a lot of parents, I've yet to have some teenagers of my own. They're still young, a 10 and an 8-year-old. And I tell these parents, it's like, I'm learning from you. I really am. I mean, you called me, but here, I have some questions for you.
Yeah. And, we're done with your stuff. I got a couple
really.
Questions.
Yeah, really. So then I whip out my notebook, and then others, and they're getting bored. They're doing like the, and no, hopefully someone will appreciate this reference. They're doing the Seinfeld head tap. It's like, someone get me out of this conversation with this cop, you know?
You've got the eye roll. Well mastered, though, I presume. Right. Yeah, okay. It's 8:43.
Hi, folks. Fly Humboldt wants to remind you that flying local is buying local. And with airlines going to seven cities serving hundreds of destinations, it's easier than ever to get to where you want to go from Humboldt County's airport. That's right, you can fly on American, Avelo, and United Airlines nonstop to Denver, Hollywood, Burbank, Los Angeles, and San Francisco. Flying has never been more convenient or affordable, so book your trip now. For more information, go to flyhumboldt.org.
Good morning, KINS News and Information Time. It's 8:51. We're back, final segment this Labor Day with Tim Mazelon from EPD. Tim, other than disengagement, which is, you know, for some of us with wrinkles, I never really engaged.
Where are they?
It's over. But for the kids, that they see this as part of their being, of their essence, how do they, I guess this is the $10 word for today, de-escalate themselves so that they still are able to be he's one of the cool kids, but not get so twisted on this stuff. You know, it's easy for you or me or Rod to go, nah, okay, and just not do it. But for the kids, this is far more than just that.
Yeah, you know, if you don't de-escalate, if you don't distance yourself from that or break away, I mean, you could be, you know, a bit ostracized by the group. But you know, I think that calls into maybe my position overall. It's like there's got to be something somewhere, some adult rather, that this student, hypothetically, or you know, a student that I'm thinking of now, that would be like, you know what, that everybody seems to, you know, enjoy talking to that cop over there. I'm gonna go say what's up.
It looks like he's safe grounds.
Sure, or just like something that, you know. Relatable.
If somebody has a question, either the kid, the grandkid, themselves, or they just want to support the effort, do they call a what's his name down at the main shop? Do they swing by and look for you? How do they handle it?
They could swing by and look for me, and with a network that's in place. Again, thank you, Chris Jenkins, for setting up years of just a successful SRO program. I'm very easy to find, very easily accessible, and I can actually put you, or, you know, you the listener, you the parent, the guardian, the teacher in contact with someone that will help you. That's the resource and school resource officer, and
I'm
just privileged to be part of it.
Well, hopefully you don't have anything going on this week. Thanks for
coming by. There's gonna be a lot. Thank you, Brian. Appreciate it.
See everybody tomorrow.